You ready? Just get ready before me.
And she got here after you.
Kevin says yes, and to drop things off.
Who's what?
Kevin's on his way.
Okay.
Do we start?
We can go ahead and start. We got a lot to get through, so he's used to coming late and joining in. So I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 7:06. What I meant was 6:06. Been a long day. We'll start with public input. Does anyone have any public input for the commission to hear and consider? Hearing none, I will move forward. We're going to go ahead and take roll, and we'll start from my right. So announce your name.
Alma Carmona here.
Chris Doro here.
Kevin Gilbert here.
Okay. And we have a quorum, so we'll go ahead and get started. Our first item after public input is approval of the June 20 minutes. Did everyone have an opportunity to go through the minutes?
Yeah. Make a motion to approve the minutes.
We have and a second. All in favor of approval of the minutes say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, minutes pass unanimously. We move on to the active transport public engagement. So, Ann, what do you have for us?
Oh, no.
I left all my papers and questions.
So, I just wanted to give you an update. We did do a public event in front of Walmart that I forgot to let you know about ahead of time, because you can help and you were willing to, but I don't know, it was such a scramble getting to that point. I was standing there in front of Walmart saying, I forgot to notify the commission. So I think I texted you all, but you were all like busy, so sorry about that. We have gotten about 135 surveys turned in. Only a few online, so we're gonna do like another online social media post, try to get a few more that way. And then we have talked about maybe doing something at the Color Run, but that's coming up in less than 2 weeks. And I don't know that we're going to be able to manage that, but I would like to, but it's just difficult with everything else that's going on. So I did provide for you the boards that the consultants have done, well, the survey also, but then they did some nice board just kind of showing different facility, types of facilities. Pedestrian bicyclists. We did it in Spanish as well. And like the route maps, the proposed route maps for bicycle. Yep. And pedestrian. Mostly at Walmart, people just did the survey, but we did talk to people with notes. People had a lot of thoughts.
So it'd be too early to ask about anything because you guys are still putting together the data, correct?
Right, with all the paperwork, we have to actually input those so that we have a summary.
Does anyone have any questions, comments about the active transport report that Ann just gave to us? And yep, go for it. Bob, all you. That's right.
So that's something we keep saying to the consultant, they seem to keep forgetting, is that that would be nice, but there is a process we're going to have to go through that we had talked about the commission level.
We talked about it last time.
Proposed. Yeah, there's a
What do you got, Jake?
As far as like the data, was there any, those who did a survey that were like in a wheelchair that had access to housing?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Part of the survey is everyone that, was any majority of the ones that took the survey were in a wheelchair? Like because we had access to those, I think.
Do we have, is that covered on the survey? Or would that be? I mean, I would guess that whatever we did would have to be compliant with, would be ADA compliant, right?
On the survey.
Which one?
On the survey, the first question, how do you mostly get around? Wheelchair is a option.
Oh, there you go. First question, Jake. I think you brought that up. Unfortunately, we missed a month, but I think you brought that up a couple months ago, and that was included. So there you go. But I think anything we would do, Ann, would have to be ADA compliant, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So, I mean, that would also be part of that. Mm-hmm. But it's a good thing to remind us of. Any other questions, concerns, comments? Yeah, I getting back to your comment, Bob, I think it's going to be interesting using the canals. I doubt they're going to let us. I think it's pretty unlikely. It would be quite the exception. It'd be interesting. But you never know until you ask. Yep. Yeah, for sure. I mean, just really quickly, my experience is liability is going to be they're very liability afraid of any type. Like anything you do, like put up a stone pillar, risk-averse is a big deal there. So I think that might be an insurmountable area to overcome, unless we plan to do a whole lot of investment into protecting it. Good point. No other questions, comments. We will move on to the next item of our agenda, which is fences. I have 8 million questions that are left in my car, but I think I can remember.
So, had the change in public works, and so as far as going to be building and planning now, so I'm looking at the code. There are things about how the fence permits were done in the past that aren't actually in the code.
Yeah.
So we need to make the process and the code match. Whichever way we're going to go, just from here on, they're going to have to match.
Yeah, how are we? So we have a list of items you wanted us to look at. How do we manage? What is the goal? What are you looking for from the commission on this?
Go more with how the code is written or more with how the fence permits were done in the past?
Well, probably the first question that comes up, do you want to ask it since it was your question?
Oh, I did have a question for you, Ed. So, I mean, I don't care either way, but my only question for you would be is if we put the permits back to you, does that overwhelm your workflow by having to do these on top of what you already do? Or is it not that big of a deal?
It's not that big a deal because we don't do that much.
Gotcha.
So I mean, one of the things Public Works has been doing is they've been going out and verifying property lines, checking them. I only found one other city that does that.
Mm-hmm.
It's Toppenish. Everybody else, it's just, you say you're going to put it on the property line, you put it on the property line. That's your business of where the property line is. The city's not checking when,
gotcha.
Because we're not going to make them put in survey pins to put up a fence, and that would be very out of line with what
the norm is. Okay.
So we're just looking at it, and I think, like I said in the report, about half the city's under a prior permit, but they all have standards, and so I think it's better to have the people say, here's what I'm going to do, and they can say, okay, yeah, that looks right, rather than they just do it, and then they say, oh, no.
Right. So without the permit, how do we, I mean, we'd have to wait for a complaint to come up if we didn't have a permitting process for it, right?
Yeah, so I think it's better to have a permit. It's a free permit.
Okay. And that's what I thought, too.
We just look at it, make sure, okay, is the height okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is the location okay?
Gotcha.
And then, we're not going to, like I said, we're not going to do a final inspection, but then if there's a complaint, if somebody's like, well, there's a 6-foot fence on the corner,
mm-hmm.
you can say, well, you said you weren't going to do it that way.
Right, so then you've got something to kind of, okay.
So that was the first, that's why your question was important. My question was, it seemed as though there was concern about whether this should be a fence permit or a building permit. And I don't completely understand difference in that regard.
Okay, there is, so by the building code, actual international building code, a building permit is required if it's over, I forget, 7 or 8 feet tall.
7 feet.
So there's a point where it's actually a building permit, then there's a fee charge, it's a different process. That mostly doesn't apply for residential fences that are typically not that big. So then it's just a fence permit, it's a free permit. We made a separate category in our permit tracking software for it. So is that?
I think that does. So if it's over 7 foot, or if it's a masonry, if it's made out of brick or rocks or something, if it's decorative, that would have to go through building permit.
Definitely if it's over 7 feet.
7 feet for sure, because that was one of the things that was on here that I saw or that I read was, gosh, I wish I would have kept my things right. The question that I had a question of was if you built a mason, you know, out of mason blocks, if you built it, you know, out of a decorative one, that would have to get permission from the council. Is that city council to do that?
So
I'll find it. That was one of the ones that I had a question mark about. It is, I'm sorry, page 2-3 of,
17 in the packet.
Yeah, which is 17 in the packet. And it's at the top, right past what would be removed out of the public right-of-way, which will be another question I have. But it says, masonry and or decorative metal fences shall obtain a standard public right-of-way license approved by council. So that, would that have to go before city council?
So that is what the code has said in the past.
Has every brick fence that's gone up over in any of the new subdivisions done that? I'm guessing not.
Yeah, so in the past, my understanding is that public works wasn't allowing any within right of way. So
right. Variance. I know we hate that word.
So,
a license. Okay.
So it's a license to be in the right of way. It's not the type of fence that's getting.
So the type of fence doesn't play a role in that, even though they're named it directly.
Well, I'm just saying that's what it said.
Yeah. So if it's a masonry fence in the right of way, it requires permission. If it's any other
only
type of fence, they can put it in the right of way just with the permit. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
I'm guessing the thought was because the wood or chain link fence is more easily movable.
Depending on how much concrete you use for the post.
Yeah.
But,
So I guess I left it in there for discussion. I'm not necessarily, I just tried to change the essential things and thought we could discuss all the rest.
Might be easier to say if it's in the right, if it's
mm-hmm.
on private property and not in the right way.
Make the exception for the right of way.
Yeah.
That would be my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those new fences over there, because there's no alleyways, there is no right of way, there's no easement through those properties. Correct?
Right. I mean, this would mostly apply to the front. And so I don't know that any of them are really fenced in the front, I think.
They're both farther out than the house footprint.
Okay, so then
yeah, that one I didn't understand, so I was just hoping to get clarification on that.
You think you could rewrite that for something a little bit easier?
Well, it depends on what we want to see. Yeah, but I need a direction on what, how we want it.
I think what we want is not to have anybody build in the right of way. I mean, at the end of the day, if they build in the right of way, then the city tears it out whenever they got to do something. They've got to ask permission to the right of way. So ideally you just prohibit building fences and right-of-ways altogether would be my opinion.
So in most neighborhoods it's going to be 13 feet from the curb to this, there's like excess right-of-way, so 13 feet. So that means that if you're fencing in the front, depending on what you want to say, if you're saying it's safe to stay out of right-of-way, then they can't fence in that area of their front yard. Which, yeah, that was something I wanted to have.
I mean, it's not prohibited from planting.
Does our definition of right-of-way start at the center line of the road? Because we build extra wide streets in some of the developments. You know, we've started gradually, narrowing down. But if you have a 60-foot wide street and you start at the center line, you're out of the right-of-way. By the time you get to the other side of the sidewalk. I mean, that would be private property if you bought that lot.
So streets are in a fellow of 66 foot right of way. And just the way that the street construction fit into that, it's mostly 13 feet. In the future, maybe we'll see smaller right of ways to go with smaller streets, and so it's going to change. But there is some area between the curb or the sidewalk or the sidewalk and where the actual private parking starts. So kind of a question of what happens in that area.
We're going to chicken walk so bad going into right of way, but we were going to cover an issue on right of way that we were going to review, and I think it got resolved before it came to us on right of way. Because remember, I was asking all sorts of questions about how the heck do I even figure this out? It was probably in December. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
I do.
Because we went and sat down and really tried to figure out right away. And because the concern that the developer had is he didn't think it should go 13 feet. He was of the opinion that it was a center line issue and that it only went in 10, 12 feet?
No, 10
feet?
Like 10.
I want to say it was 10 feet,
yeah.
Too. And
because it was eating up a lot of the
and so yeah
property.
And that was what his concern was, if we put any regulation on that, and then we never went through it because it got resolved
on the right of way space that they were asking to keep.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this developer was in the process of doing a development and that came into play. And that's why we were gonna review it, but then it was off. And the developer said, yeah, it got resolved. And I think what John said is what this developer explained to me is how it got resolved. Mm-hmm. Was the from the center line, 50-50, or I can't remember what that was. I know I hate to do this, but I just want to make sure that whatever we do, if we do make a you can't build in the right of way with a fence, that we're at least given that accurately.
Mm-hmm. And so I think what you're talking about, I think, is probably Sandhill Estates, where he made the
yes.
request to do narrower streets. It's got started off on the whole discussion on narrow streets.
And then that increased the right of way with the center line.
He withdrew that request,
yeah.
So then that didn't come to you.
Right, and then we were looking at the right of way space might have been a little larger than most communities.
Oh my God, I'm remembering all this now. Every once in a while, the synapses come together,
like really
and as Public Works wanted to.
Is
Public Works wanted to keep that wide.
Even addressed in this.
Remember that, ah.
In this commission? That's something we make a recommendation on? Or is that something that's more dictated by the needs of Public Works, et cetera, et cetera?
Definitely the needs of Public Works have to be considered, but you can also make recommendations.
But I.
So how would we go about, I guess, getting feedback there? Because I mean, I like the idea of making it simple, but that also begs the question of what is our right of way? Guidelines, I'm not familiar with them off the top of my head.
Oh, man, they're complicated.
I want to see for the area of the director.
Well, and then what are the needs, like really significant?
Water lines are usually in the right of ways, electrical. But how much space do you need?
And stuff like that is kind of.
I don't know if any of that sounds familiar.
How much space does the city require for what it needs? No more than.
I think maybe we're dealing with two different questions.
Yeah, I told you, we're chicken walking big time.
I think it's a different issue that they come back to you like with subdivisions. But I think right now, the question is, should fences be allowed within the right of way? I think that's the, or does it need to be set back?
You're right back to that question.
Which is then the practice, although not supported by the code.
Right.
Do we use the terminology right of way and not specify what it is until we figure out what really the right of way is?
I know right of way is. It's very clear that, you know, there's a dedicated street and then there's private property behind it.
60 feet.
That's all spelled out, that's really clear to me. So I'm sorry if I can't.
No, I.
Not convey it accurately, but.
In Othello, off the top of my head, there's not many fences that approach that line.
There's not that.
There's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't think it's majorly bothersome just to say you don't build fences in the right of way. I mean.
Well, if we had the pasture, he might have a problem with that because he's got one in the right of way.
And it's already there, and I don't think making that the rules changes that, right? Like, we're not going to rip the fence out.
Bob?
Yeah, I think you remember that the right of way is on a side street too.
That's what I was just about to bring up.
I don't remember, because there might be a right of way there.
So it's what Bob is bringing up, because let's just make it, let's just go all the way in on confusion. Is on your, yeah, right of way, you don't want, what has done in most cities, you know, as per our packet, there's a lot of 6-foot exceptions that are made to be set back as a minimum to make room for sidewalks. And to have that walking space. Do we have that, Ann, or? I didn't know if that was in our code or was that in the checklist?
So when you're talking about a 6-foot exception, I don't know.
That would be two.
A side street.
We'd be talking about.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, but it's in our questions. It's into, where is it? Come on, I just looked at it. 2D. For separation between fence and curb to leave space for future sidewalks. In Moses Lake, it's 6 feet, in Pasco, it's 5, in Richland's at 5. There's a bunch of other cities, though, that have the same thing.
But if you're not allowing any right of way, then it's not.
Then it would be 13 feet? So if you had a side, so if you had a, you were on a corner lot, you would have to build 13, your fence couldn't be any closer than 13 feet or 12 feet or 10.
The right of way, because of the way the right of way went. If you make it not allowed in right of way, then that doesn't matter because.
Right, you can build, it doesn't, it's a non-issue. It's going to be the corner lot, folks.
Yeah, well, they, and that's the question, right? Even the new construction, you're going to end up impacting how their backyard's structured, right? At 13 feet, you're doubling a lot of people's planned yard on the side, probably. And so for, can you put a carve out and can we propose, you know, it's something within the fencing permits that allows for that type of usage on corner lots?
Well, they, like I said, for Moses Lake, Pasco, there's a whole bunch of them. They have a 6, between 5 foot, and right away is the other thing.
Sidewalk plus a little bit.
Yep. You know, they have that in their language. So we may want that. Maybe we want 6 foot. Maybe we want right away. I guess it's kind of what you all think would be the best way to approach that one.
And that'd be a question I'd punt to Public Works on what their right away concerns would, like what their needs would be. If ever they had to go tearing stuff up on, along the street on that.
And so another thing about that is that most cities, as part of your fence permit, you acknowledge that if the city has to remove your fence, they just remove your fence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you put it back if you're on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is maybe why there's the language about masonry fences, because that's all work to remove.
Yeah.
So in that case, oh boy. I mean, right away kind of sounds like a good idea, but kind of not. But 6 foot sounds like a great idea, unless you run into a situation like you just described where it's like, hey, we got to work here. Sorry.
So you're talking 6 feet on top of the right away?
So picture that that right away is the width.
We're talking total, the right away becomes 6 feet for
like,
purposes of that.
Yeah.
For that lot. And I get what you're saying. If you, I mean, it almost, if you operate that way, then what's the point of even saying anything, right? Where it's kind of like an unspoken, if you build there, we might tear it out. And then, therefore, you have a permit where you tell them they can't build there, but really everyone builds wherever they want because we don't enforce it. So that would be not specifically, you know what I'm saying? Like, if in the permit it says if you build on the right of way, then we may rip it out if ever we need to.
I think
how you treat those side yards. Then
right.
Though I really,
you can blanket apply that to any fence. Anyway.
But I really like, though, one of the things that Ann wanted to accomplish with the permit was also be an educational tool on how you can build your fence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, we can put some of those parameters in there that we think would be best practices as part of that fence permit, as long as it makes sense. It sounds like, to me, a tougher question is, do we say you can't build in the right of way, or you have to allow at least 6 feet? You know, that becomes the, like, for best practices.
6 feet, you're talking 6 feet in height or 6 feet into the right?
Into the, 6 feet from the curb, from the curb, as pointed on 2D.
So what you're saying is we don't consider right away. We just say you can build within 6 feet of the curb and your fence may be ripped out if the city has work.
How would you want to, yeah, how, if you build.
Is that what you're
yeah, like
thinking?
What's the lesser?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because like I said, you know, the front yard, that's simple. Nobody's going to do it most like, well, a couple.
Well, even if they do, there's
the little tiny
ones.
Yeah, the little tiny fences, the 2 footer, 3 footer. That's the only thing I've seen in front yards, but it's the corner lots and the sides that becomes, could potentially be problematic. They might also be problematic on sight lines and vision too, so.
You can maintain your corner rules, right? Even with a side yard. So visibility, you can protect that
right
on the turn. But I do feel the pain of lost backyard space. If you
say right away
from the curb on those yards.
All right, you're gonna be writing these, you're gonna be dealing with these. What would you prefer, Ann? Would you want everything out of the right away? Or give them the 6 feet and hopefully we don't have to deal with it too much? With the warning that building in the right of way opens you up to the potential to having to remove it and replace it.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a position on that, because the backyard thing, there's that space between the sidewalk and the property that's, you know, 6 feet, whatever, that you think of as your yard, maybe you can go on a corner, but it's not actually your yard, although you are.
Fortunately, I live on the corner, and I think I'm good both ways. I think I'm out.
Yeah.
I think I'm inside, I think I'm at least 12 feet, if not more, so. Which I'm really glad for at the moment when I was thinking of this, because mine's also a masonry wall, so. But then if I go to the opposite end of my block, somebody built their fence, I doubt it's even 6 feet away from the edge. All right, what do you guys think?
I mean, it already says right away. We just leave it that way.
What do you think, Kevin?
You know, the right away is 13 feet. I mean, that's, to me, you carve it out for those lots and see if you can make a. And this is, like I said, my question would be the necessity of needing 13 feet off the curb, you know, in those specific instances. So, because that would also, I mean, a builder could adjust which way the house faces based on, you know, if a street has certain utilities running through it in certain places, you know, like all questions that I'm not an expert on. But, you know, if you said, well, these streets, the city probably will never dig up into you know, that far off a curb versus these streets that have all sorts of things running underneath them. So my opinion would be you carve it out and you make it so that they can plant a fence.
Daniela?
I'm still moving right away.
Let me tell you. You are in for a long amount of research. There is a lot of research on that.
So
okay, so you know what the right of way is for the city?
Nope.
Okay, yeah, so we're ground zero. The right of way is just the place that the city says we can do whatever we want here.
Even though it's yours.
Even though it's yours.
No. Well,
I mean, that's how it's treated in my opinion.
That's how it's treated.
So functionally,
yes,
that's
no.
What it is.
But yes.
The right
of
way is dedicated as part of the plat. There's a set number of feet that this is for the street. And
there's no sidewalk. But you maintain it.
I believe John is correct that it is actually 60 feet and its center line.
66
feet.
Remember Othello was railroad town?
That's right. We were 60. Thank you. Sorry, 66 feet. And why this became Daniela, why that's an issue is we have 40-foot wide roads, so that leaves 13 feet on either side for right of way. So each side of every street has 13 feet. Now, when we allowed for smaller roads, that then changed that right away because of the 66 feet. That was the space. We changed the road. That put about another 3 feet in, you know, from into the yard. And that was what the issue that we were looking at in December, but it got resolved. It didn't mm-hmm. end up coming to us. So that's where that comes from. So I think my question to all of you, when I think about this issue, I think we want to have actually some setback space for the possibility of sidewalks. How much space is reasonable without putting people into it? I think that's the issue that you're gonna run into with fences, is when somebody wants to put a sidewalk, when somebody wants to engage an active transport plan.
On the side, not on the front.
Well, it could be the front.
It would be
the front, you're probably not going to come into much issue.
But
it's going to be the side.
Yeah.
So what would be a great, what is a good number for that?
Sidewalk
is 6 foot.
28 inches, right? So
sidewalk is 5 feet.
5 feet?
So mostly, I know the 6 feet because they wanted to have space to set forms for the sidewalk. That's why they say six. I think other cities set 5. Just
to go
to sidewalk, it's typically 5 feet. But you can't actually build a sidewalk
in
5 feet if
it's a
sidewalk. So.
No. Yeah. See, and that's kind of the other things. You know, Jake has brought up how we want to deal with making sure we make things accessible. You know, is 6 feet adequate? Is it bigger than that? And we want to give the best recommendation.
So
we don't.
Tree
that's the scenario we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Do you know where my house is? I'm sure I'm like 15 feet from the curb. Because okay. I have room for like three sidewalks because of the shrubs and everything.
Because that's the right way and you don't want to build there. You cannot build there.
Well, I bought the house that way, so.
And if he can build there, but if he did and they had to get in there, they're going to tear it all up and it's his responsibility to fix it because he was in the right way.
Yeah. Actually, if the city did something to tear out my shrubs, I'd be heartbroken. I may never stop crying. We need to do something on 8th and Hemlock now that I think about it.
Yeah, that was a small
thing,
but if you come further,
yeah. Ooh. Well, you got your sidewalk, so it's already there.
Plants that they water as well, and they have a fence. It's a little bit of a slope.
And there's a little gap.
Yeah.
How wide is that sidewalk there? Is it 8 feet altogether? Bet you didn't think this was going to be a tough one.
No, I mean, it's good.
Sorry to hear
that. No, you did good. It's a good one.
Clearly still stuck on it, so.
So it looks like that might be a somewhat wider sidewalk.
What does the other cities do? That's down there a little bit.
No, is that sidewalk?
Oh, no, forget it. That's not down there. That's on something else.
Probably.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
So then there's that. Well, they're wider because there are turtles.
Did you really have to do that, Alma?
I mean,
stop. Stop adding that to it.
You have to go sit in my Suburban now. 5 minutes.
That's what we're here for.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So what is the sidewalk requirement for arterials and collectors?
I think we have those already.
I know we have them. We already have them in place. So that could give you at least some guideline for potential where you might want to put. All right, that's a pretty good guideline.
So if we just put 6 feet flat, then...
So we're focusing on the neighborhood where it says 66 for all of them.
Well, it would be every...
Driveway,
so when somebody 90, does 70, their...
70, 66.
Yeah.
To what you're saying, if it's along an arterial and it's 6 feet, they do need room to put forms. If there's no existing sidewalk and they're going to try to pull it later.
I like 6 foot. It's consistent for those corner lots. And then it's not, I suppose you probably have to put language on the thing in parentheses or a little star. What do you guys think of that? 6 foot?
For neighborhood street, not arterial.
Well, they're going to
It's got to be different for arterials altogether. So.
Well, isn't it 6 foot for arterials
right,
and collectors?
Right, but that would be enough room.
The sidewalk width is 6 foot, and if you were to pour a sidewalk post
after, yes, you would have enough room for a set, yeah.
Okay.
So you'd have to go bigger for arterial and commercial, and then you got to go a foot bigger than what we have there.
It's the easier wording, Anne, to say just the minimum sidewalk dimensions plus a foot, or just to say 7 feet across the board?
It's not bad. I'm not... 7 foot doesn't.
I'd rather have it be related to the street type. Like, so like you're saying, a foot more than the sidewalk, because otherwise you're making everybody with a neighborhood street have 2 feet.
That's unnecessary.
Because that's kind of what you have then.
The 2 feet works pretty good for a moment. I mean, it's...
there is the issue of that foot between the sidewalk and the fence.
As we go.
There, we, you know, what do you do with it?
Right.
So the less space, the better.
Is that enough guidance on that, Anne, or do we have to do anything formally?
No.
Cool.
So, I mean, obviously this is going to come back to you. I just need some input at this
point. Another thing that shows up, if you take a look at, let's see, 2B, they talk about hedges. And should a hedge requirement or permit, or have it be the same rules as a fence? Well, on all this stuff. I don't know. How do you deal with the hedges?
Location.
Do you want us to require a permit for a hedge? Or do you want people to just be able to plant hedges and then the site distance so we can deal with them?
It looks like it's kind of all over the board, too, from other cities. Is that correct? Some people have hedges requirements, some don't. I read this really early today before everything went south, though, so.
I read it last week, so sorry.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, it seemed like it was kind of, some had them and some didn't.
I mean, right off the bat for me, I mean, I'm not really stuck to it, but I feel like, yes, I think it would just be easier to have a look at it before someone puts it in, and then later we have to tell them, hey, you did that wrong. It's in the way, it's problematic.
Or are we being too overly government intrusive by telling them how they gotta do their hedge? This one was not my favorite section. That's why
I could think of why we would do it. Like on the corner of, I gave it to you earlier, it was the...
Oh, the bad hedge.
Yeah.
That's right. We had the bad hedge.
7th and Hemlock, that hedge went out...
Oh, the one by the high school.
...for years, and there's always accidents there, and
I mean, safety would be the area.
The only thing I can really think of why it made sense...
Maintenance.
Well, it blocks line of sight. I mean, you couldn't see where the hedge
came in.
It can be pretty, but if it's 8 foot tall,
yeah, 8 foot tall, then you put it all the way on the edge of your property,
but
people can't see around it.
Can you put a fence there? So it shouldn't have been there if you can't put a fence there, because if you're going by the same guidelines.
But they're calling it, it's shrubbery, it's decoration. It's. Do you see what I'm saying?
The question is, do we require
a permit
for plants, basically?
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Would it be a code enforcement thing? In my mind, right, like it's something where you set the rule of nothing over, what, 2 feet, 3 feet, I don't know, within a certain distance of a corner.
And that would be
way
over.
And then code enforcement, when they see something, can just send a notice out.
I like that.
I mean, to me, that would be the simplest way to try to manage something like that.
Yeah, that is kind of how we do it now.
Okay.
Well, going back to, again, what one of the goals that was outlined in these comments was the desire to have, you know, the document that we have is great, except it's not consistent with the code. So we got to shore that up in the best places.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, give people some education on best practices. They can find all this stuff out. You know, they can figure out sight lines. They can figure out all that stuff. But maybe we do our community a better service by having that in the explanations and the check boxes when they're planning their fence, so they don't do it and then, oh, now you got to move it. You know, I think that's kind of, I really liked that kind of, like, I love the idea. Why don't we have it in our code? It's kind of weird, but, I mean, we might want to do the same thing with hedges on that. I don't know. I'm in the same place that you are on that one. I was like, it starts getting a little bit intrusive-y in my world, but. Let code enforcement deal with edges.
I mean, like I said, it was there.
I mean, if no neighbor's complaining about a tall hedge that's not in the sideline needed for a street, then.
Okay. I think that sounds reasonable. Swimming pool fences, this is already managed under the International Pool and Spa Code. For anyone who wasn't aware, there's an International Pool and Spa Code. And for us to do anything different may open up the city for additional liability. So it is recommended to tell people to follow, who have pools, to follow the International Pool and Spa Code. Correct? It seemed pretty straightforward to me. The code enforcement officer wanted the building inspector to also be part?
No, it previously just said building inspector, it didn't say code enforcement, so we would be adding the code enforcement officer.
Okay.
So we can write tickets, because most of us, she would be doing that anyway.
Gotcha.
But I didn't take the building inspector out, because potentially he could too, but. So that was just adding in code enforcement officer as a person who can deal with these things.
Okay, we have something about, we have an OMC that doesn't allow a fence taller than 3 feet in the front setback area. That would be number 3. I didn't understand that completely.
Okay, so this is my lovely little sketch that I did. So by the code, in this 20-foot area in front of the house, and also in the 45 feet from the corner, you can't have a fence taller than 3 feet.
Is that safety?
Partly safety, partly just kind of like neighborliness. You know, it's a very different city if people just have short fences in their front yard than if they have 6-foot fences in their front yards. So. So it's there, and then also at the alley, right in the corner, basically again for the sight distance.
Did I give anybody any heartburn? Or do you need any more explanation from us on it? As it's written?
So in the 13 feet from the curb, so just, you know, say when you're pulling out of the alley, if the 6-foot fence went all the way up to the sidewalk or all the way up to the curb, it would be hard to see if you're, you know, pulling out of the alley. So there is a requirement to be stepped down in that corner if somebody's doing a fence all the way
to the right-of-way line, which, you know, like I said, that code would have been allowed, but practice was not allowed. Anybody got any heartburn? Anybody understand what this is saying at this point?
I don't know.
I know. I read it 3 times, and I went, I don't know if I still understand what it said. The backyard made sense, but the front one was weird.
I don't know of any fence that's built like that, so.
Mine. I know it's 30,
on the
other way, 13.
3 foot?
Oh, yeah. Mine's way off the curb. You said I could put 3 sidewalks in there easily. Easily. So do we change, I mean, that doesn't mean we shouldn't change it either.
Well, any fence that's already up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already there. It's going to be what we do for future
ones. And
we're
not building new streets and alleyways, so it's not like it's really a forward-looking issue.
I think it's fine. Like, I can't see us coming across that.
Okay. Anything we're missing on this, Ann? Because I don't, like I said, I was...
So I guess where this would matter would be if we're going to allow a backyard fence into right-of-way.
Into...
Backyard fence and a 6-foot fence.
Say, wait, what?
Because you had wanted to for a corner lot, you wanted to allow...
Be a 6-foot fence.
6-foot fence for the backyard.
Right.
So then if you're putting that 6-foot fence a foot behind the sidewalk, where the sidewalk would be, then that is bringing it closer to where you're going to need to be able to see to come out of the house.
So the 13-foot's probably pretty important for sight lines and vision. Well, this isn't finalized tonight.
Oh, no.
Because the next item, number 4, does relate to vision clearance for intersections, fences, and hedges. So I don't know if this comes together in this area. I mean, I do understand that the neighborhood feel you might not want 6-foot fences in your front yard. But just like you're saying, cornered lots become a little problematic. Does our vision clearances at intersections and areas, does this address the concerns on number 3? Other than you can't have 6-foot fences in your on your frontage?
So for 20, it would be 20 feet, and you can't go more than 3.5 feet. And that's why I'm saying there's conflicts, because the fence code says 3 feet high, 13 feet from the that point. This one says 20 feet, you can't go more than 3.5 feet.
So they don't match up?
They don't, yeah. They don't.
Gotcha.
That's what the problem is.
Part of the problem, yeah.
What you got, Bob? There's some short cars these days. I bet you electrics get even lower.
What about pre requirements if you have a dock?
If you have a what?
A dock.
I'm sorry.
A dock? A homeowner had a dock? What's the pre requirement for that fence?
That's a good question. I really don't know.
You got a great game, you got a 3-foot fence.
Is he going to be jumping it all day long?
No. I don't think there are fence requirements on the pet side, are there?
I think only for dangerous dogs, and that's a very specific, and it's like a top horn and stuff, so that would really be something, you know, it wouldn't be a conflict here. You know, the way you can get around it, if you have a dog, is that you just don't put it, you stop it here. Go all the way, rather than stepping it down in the corner.
But if it's fenced in, free all around the front and backyard.
Does classifying frontage make any difference? That you have more freedom on the non-frontage front fence, even though I know a corner lot, but I mean the front of the house is a different.
The way the code does front and side is that in a block, there's more lots front on it, that's the front. So in this case, this would be the front of this lot. The lot has, doesn't have a roof, but the house is pointed.
But Summit would make a difference.
There's some houses buried in that.
Right.
On the park, on the.
Of course, they're not gonna change anyway.
They face the side street, you want every other house.
Even if the house faced the side street, the code would still say, the rules are that this is the front and then this is the side.
Okay.
Right or wrong, that's what the code says, and that's, I mean, that's how I feel about it.
Right, right, right. I'm just trying to find a way. I mean, we might be sitting here agonizing over something that is no longer, but if somebody puts in alleys again in their development, that then makes it a little more interesting.
So you could, I mean, if you, you know, if you wanted to do a 6-foot fence, the way this, this is written, if you want to do a 6-foot fence and get the most area, you could do a jog in this back corner and then go out to the sidewalk. You can just have kind of like a little area that's not fenced in where you put your garbage.
Kind of like how some of the properties, when they've got those big junction boxes, they don't fence and then they just kind of go around it.
So everyone who's got their fence, don't worry about it. Everyone's going to build a fence, could be, have to deal with that.
They almost fetch it out.
What you're doing though is you're making things be less restrictive than they've been, than they've been implemented in the past. Because you are allowing them, I think is what I heard, to use this space between the sidewalk and the property line.
Yeah.
So you're opening it up more than it has been in the past. So I don't think you need to worry about,
That
part of it.
Okay.
So then would just in those alley situations, just dropping it inward, like you would if you had a power box in the corner, alleviate that space?
That would allow you to do 6 feet the whole
way, right? And you just kind of drop it in.
You just do it like a little.
So a weird jogging fence.
Yeah.
A little. Yeah, I mean.
And then you
if you want to keep it.
Garbage can there.
Win-win.
We could suggest those to be great places for ADUs to deal with some of our housing issues, so. trying to stack it. I'm good with that. Since we're being more liberal on how much they can use, this is what you got to do with it.
And
we can put that again on the permit so it's explained so they understand that. I mean, I really like the checkbox. The thing that they did was good. It's just not consistent with the rules. You know, so there's an education process. Is anybody got any heartburn over any of that? Okay, it gets easier here soon, I think.
Lies.
I could be lying. Okay. Let's see. I don't think I had anything that really got me too excited after that. Oh, no final inspection. So most cities don't require final inspection, giving the folks the checkbox. This is what you got to do and get your permit. And they show you their design on that. So they're going to turn all that in. So we could have somebody go out and do a final inspection, but most cities don't. Good. That's kind of where I felt like too. Was avoiding that. In the commercial and industrial zones, adding lockbox language was requested by the fire chief. So if somebody has a fence in the industrial and the fire happens and they need to get access in there, that they have to have a lock box, which
it
gives them a way to get in.
Gotcha. And that was on the.
I don't see that unreasonable.
Yeah, that was already required on the commercial fence commit application. It just wasn't in the code.
Is that something code enforcement needs to deal with to make sure it happens, or the fire leave that up to the?
Actually, up to the company. Yeah, we did it for the new stuff we did down below.
Okay.
You just have to put a post with the the lockbox, but I hit my, you know.
The fire department.
Yeah.
Is there anybody who makes sure it gets put in? In the case of like with fence permits, right? We don't, if we're not gonna go out and do any final inspection.
So my understanding is that if the fire department will get in, if they're knocking down your fence or they're opening up your lockbox and providing them one way or the other.
They're gonna get in. Probably.
Once again, we'll leave it to the property.
And when would, is there any, so we would have people always get fence permits. Is that correct? Okay. That was, I think the other question I had was there, you know, before it was like, well, if you built your fence at this level, at this height, then you didn't have to.
You're supposed to get a fence permit. We wanted you to get a fence permit, but the code didn't actually require it. So you
right.
built one and you didn't get a permit. Heather's out there trying to write a ticket for, there's no code citation that she could give them for, you need a permit.
And there were a lot of cities that are, that don't, I mean, that still follow the 6 foot basically. 6 foot, do whatever you want sort of thing, but we will not be doing.
They don't have rules about how high your fence can be, but a lot of them don't require a permit, but I feel like that.
It turns into.
People up for failure.
That's, then that's kind of how I read that too. Like I said, I really think that it's a great idea to get everything standardized, give people a tool, which was in number five, you know, creating that circumstance so people can be successful and not get themselves into a mess, into trouble. That is all that was on that. Was there anything we did not cover for you to give you? Because I'm guessing you're going to bring this, a proposal back to us. There are some areas within that we've already pretty much covered, I believe, where you see the red lines in the change of language. Is there anything you need additionally than what we've already given you?
No, I think the only change we really discussed was that allowing on a corner lot, allowing into the right of way for that side street, and then I guess changing it so that the code says you can't build into the right of way.
Okay, so we'll be looking forward to that. Our next item, I know you all have been waiting for this one. Here we go again with landscaping. I was told I couldn't say the word street trees
ever again.
So we gotta find a new code word for street trees. And what, based on our discussions, what do you have changed for us?
Okay, so I changed that street trees in non-residential development are required for new development, but not required for remodels and additions. That's what I remembered. And then next change was,
I thought it was pretty good. So then, and so new buildings would have to put in street trees, or would they follow then this to get more points?
So the way it's written right now, they would still be required street trees. So I don't know if you want to change that, but that's.
Well, some of us might, some of us might not.
So if we still require them.
That could be the other thing we can do.
So we wouldn't be requiring them on existing.
Right.
Or we might.
Or we might.
For technically as now require it, but we've upped the point system for street trees.
That they would be worth more.
Yeah, they're worth more.
We could also plant big other places with good points, because we need
right.
some general planting. And maybe this ordinance is still too complicated. There's a lot of things. I think about that every time I review a project map, we do a little table about how does it comply with all the parts of the code.
Freedom is complicated. I know you all don't want to talk about street trees anymore, but I think that the one of the areas of debate and discussion, I think everyone's probably in agreement that remodels existing places, when they go through that, they probably shouldn't have to be forced to put in street trees, mm-hmm. especially when they don't fit necessarily. Are we in agreement on that? So then do we require new development, new places, new commercial to put those into place? Or do we give them the freedom to use their points as they have, because they get a bonus for putting them within 10 feet of the street? Well, it would be, so all new ones. So, all right, let's take Walmart for an example. So Walmart has a bunch of street trees out there. Let's say the other side of Main Street gets developed, and obviously it's going to be commercial there. It's probably going to, it's C3 big box commercial. So let's say somebody, Safeway, comes in. So they're going to have a very similar footprint to Walmart. They have vegetation requirements that they have to put into their place. How are they going to accomplish that?
For me, I think trees should still be required. I don't think they should be required on the street, which is why I think the incentive to put them on the street should still be there. They'll be worth more if you put them on the street, but if you can't put them on the street, just put them somewhere.
So
that's kind of where I'm at.
I love that. It's a great starting point. So what Alma's talking about is she'd rather see the trees on the street than in the parking lot, because that's where Safeway is going to put them, one of the two areas. They're going to take trees because they're the biggest, least expensive thing, most likely. And they're going to either put them in islands in the parking lot, mm-hmm. or they're going to put them in on the street, which would be consistent with which is what's across the road. Now, as long as they're kept up and they don't create vision problems and sightline issues, that turns out pretty good, but there's other benefits as well. Temperature for people walking, wear and tear, that kind of goes both ways. You pick the wrong trees, you get a lot of wear and tear you weren't hoping for. So, I mean, those come into play. I think John said the best thing 2 months ago is, what do you want Othello to look like when people come into town, when that's developed?
I get what you're saying. They're saying no to yes to development, no to remodel.
Oh, we'll get to it. We're going to get to that. Let's just look at it a commercial right now. Let's look at Main Street for now.
Right there.
It wasn't me. It was Cowpath. Cowpath did it. And then Ace turned around and did it. So all of a sudden it came up. We're on commercial, non-residential. What do you want Main Street to look like? Because that's really where it comes down to.
Yes.
You like the street trees. You want the street trees? Street
I like
tree.
Solid.
Danielle, are you on the street tree requirement? You like that? Like them on the street? I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm on the freedom, let people do whatever they want. However, there's some benefits to it, and it's consistent.
If we want consistency, we have to say, these are the things you have to put in. And that's where it is.
In a new one.
Like, this is a list of things you have to put in, but you can put them in whatever arrangement works for you. But if you put them here, they'll be worth more.
Which I like that idea.
Well, they can't get too crazy because they still have to get okay.
Setbacks and.
Correct, Ann? Ann likes trees, so she really doesn't want to talk about this. She'd rather we didn't bring this up either.
Maybe have to write in a way that is understandable.
That's the hard part. Let's say like we get a new planner and they're going to go, what the heck were you guys thinking here on this? Because they're going to ask us. I'm going to say it was Alvin's idea.
That's fine.
Jake.
Yes, I have a question. As far as like the sidewalk lights on the 7th, are they going to extend further back that way? Or is it just going from 7th all the
way? I don't believe there's any plan for extending them. John, you probably know more than we would. Extending the street lights up past, you're talking about extending them to the east, correct?
Yes.
Extending, so 14th is the end of the street lights. Is there any plans to extend those from 14th east?
No.
I didn't think so either. I was pretty sure that was my understanding. It may happen in the future.
We're looking at filling in everything from first.
Where do they stop? Are they done at 7th right now? I thought. So it's from 7th on west they're going to do first. Yeah, that's what I understood too.
But the goal is to have everything, I mean, all of Main Street
lit. Oh. So even, east of 14th.
No.
Okay.
Not right now. East.
Certainly not.
Okay.
14th down to first.
Yeah. Second. Yeah.
You're
second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
Yeah. In the general,
because so first, what's going to happen when people drive into town is they're going to see Alma street trees. Then they're going to see lights.
I'm not saying requiring them on the street. I'm saying incentivized on the street.
I'm going to name them that forever, just so you know.
But that would be developed, right?
Yeah, that would they would know the rules up front. You know, the problem we're having is folks finding out these rules, you know, after the fact. You know, as CalPath, what do you mean I got to have trees across the front of my place, then nobody can drive in. So yeah, it'd be new developments. And wherever else Othello goes. Kevin, you don't care either way.
Street trees? We're back to that.
We're there.
I was in Seattle last week. They had tons of trees all over the place planted in the middle of the sidewalks. So
they do.
I mean, if it's, you know, it, pros and cons, right? So if we ever have water problems, street trees die. I mean, they're, you know, that type of water gets cut. You know, so that's the con, is you could end up with stumps at some indeterminable point in the future. So are we drought tolerant landscaping, or are we trees in the desert? I'm saying I'm not equipped to answer that question because I love trees.
That's a good
point. But I also like low maintenance and stuff that suits the environment. So,
like I said, I don't think we should require them on answer. The street. I just think you should be part of the list of stuff that we already have there.
And see, to me,
But they're currently, they would be new developments, they would still have a requirement to have street trees.
On new developments.
Unless we get rid of that, correct, Dan?
Because you need it consistent moving forward, so.
Like I like, for me personally, I like the incentive of points to put your trees there as opposed to saying you gotta have them there anyway. But it's complicated, I realize that too.
So you're talking about completely taking trees out of the list of vegetation to put for a business?
No, you totally leave them.
He's saying don't make them required.
Don't make them required.
Right, but I said.
You can put other stuff.
Not to require them on the street.
They're not required on the street.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying.
That's your vote.
Are you not listening to?
Wait.
Don't require them on the street, sorry, but still have them as something for the property.
Oh, I totally agree with that. As an option.
Just don't require them on the street.
And a high point option.
No, for both, new or old, no, it's not required, new or old doesn't matter. That's what you're gonna vote.
I'm saying only on new, not on old.
What, wait, only, wait, so new has to have street trees or not?
Not on the street, no.
Has to have trees, but not street trees.
Yes.
Has a tree requirement?
That's the same for old, they don't have to have it, they just gotta put it somewhere else on the point.
Right, but right now we require street trees, so I'm saying get rid of the word street tree and just have a, put it as part of the vegetation that list that we have for what we require.
So what you're saying, or if I'm understanding correctly, right, is just go to the point system only.
Mm-hmm.
Not requiring street trees, but also not requiring trees at all if somebody meets the points another way.
I guess essentially, yeah, that would allow them to see them, but they'd have to put a lot of vegetation to not have a tree. Because the trees take up a majority of the points.
Yeah, they're the best item.
So you're gonna have to put a lot of vegetation to not put a tree in.
I like Dan's setup, even though she might shoot me for going after street trees, because street trees are incentivized because they're by far the highest points and there's a bonus for doing it. So if I'm Safeway and I'm planning what I'm going to do, I'm doing street trees most likely because that's my biggest bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say, well, I hate trees, well, then there's an option there too.
You're going to have to put a whole lot of shrubs because they're only worth 3 points.
And a whole lot of barrels.
It depends on what you're requiring. Because like right now, there's general landscaping required based on the size of the building, mm-hmm. basically. And then this, you know, street trees, that would separate requirement, although you could count points for that general requirement. So like this one, so 5,000 square foot building requires 50 points. The way it's set up now, so that would be
couple trees, I think. Trees
right now, you have them at
26.
Large tree. That's a pretty big tree, though. Yeah. So the size of the planted, they're usually 1 to 2 inch, so 9 to 12 points.
How about will of the give maybe some insight on where the council would like to see us fall on this? Since you guys had to deal with Cowpath, we still got to deal with Ace. What do you think would be the best option there?
They're both, yeah, they wouldn't matter because they're
in just... They built a new building.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they built a new building.
That's right.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Ace is a new building.
New building.
Yeah.
Well, it's new construction, but it's storage.
Yeah.
So where do you think the council wants us to kind of be on this? What would be the preferred? And I'm just asking that because that does matter. It's so much fun to bring these great ideas to the council and get blown up. But we still will do it if we think and we feel strongly about it.
I think your choices are good.
Yeah.
You know,
doing an either or. There's going to be a lot more issues, you know, than just whether or not there's going to be trees on the street when they develop that area between 14th and the highway.
Right.
And I just heard today that the owners of the property are going to be requesting an annexation from the road to Cunningham all the way from 14th to the highway.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we want that to be in the city property.
Well, we were kind of hoping they were going to be here tonight. They got invited, but they're busy. They went, you need to tell me sooner, because we thought that would be, you know, important to hear what they would like to see, you know, in that regard, but because that's such a major portion.
Yeah, there'll be certain circumstances, like the water and sewer is in the
right.
North side of the right-of-way.
Right.
On that street out there, going out coming in. So there's going to be a lot of things that have to be worked out in the planning and what they're going to be doing for, you know, turn-ins and turnouts on the street. Lots of things that will be required. Now, whether or not they put them along the side of the street, like Walmart did, or they do them in their private property off of the right-of-way, that would be entirely up to them, based on what you guys are recommending here.
So what do you, so do
myself,
you...
Myself, personally,
yep.
I don't like them along the street. I think they're a nuisance to... When you're pulling out of Walmart and trying to get a visual on somebody coming from and you know, kind of calculate their speed, whether they might get in or out, they're an obstruction. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to push Walmart to go out there and trim them up so you could actually see them, you know, to see the roadway. So they're going to be a continuous, ongoing maintenance issue for the city. Keeping that maintained so that it does not present a problem. So I, personally myself, speaking as one council member, I don't like it.
So more freedom than requirement on street trees.
You want to put them in a parking lot? Because then when I can go park my car there and get shade.
Mm-hmm. But the parking lot trees are required also.
Yeah. Wait. Where are they at Walmart?
Before this
code. Oh, there we forgot about.
Well, then, yeah. You're an option worth it. Getting my friends.
Yeah. Because we're going to
so
shoot
then
trees.
The street tree section, should that just be a tree section? Should it be a requirement for a certain number of trees based on the street frame so they can put them elsewhere? Or?
Sure.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think that's what I've been trying to say.
So would that apply to
that's not been doing a good job.
Every kind of development?
Well, we'll get there. Let's just knock down commercial first. Because we got some other issues with residential that's going to become problematic as well. I hate to say this.
Oh, we all know.
Right? Yeah.
I think we all know.
We've been working on this since when?
Yeah. So I guess we'll do trees first. So currently not required for residential subdivisions. Since we are no longer calling them street trees and putting them on the street, we should probably have residential subdivisions have the tradition, the previous rules for street trees. Oh God, I said the word.
Those aren't a thing around here anymore.
Huh?
Those aren't a thing around here anymore.
That's right. Anne's got that look on her face, like
no,
I'm really
confused.
Making a disaster.
No, I'm just confused. So, I mean, I don't want to write my chart, so I'll help out.
What do you want from it? Yeah, are trees good in new subdivisions? Yes, they're good in new subdivisions because they impact quality of life by impacting temperature, in particular. And that's why they were placed here previously. If you look out the window, you see trees everywhere, because that's what was put into place to do that. When you drive into town, what are we, the Arboretum?
Tree City.
Tree City in the desert, because somebody had a vision that we had to have some requirements in our residential areas, and we're going to go away from that. I don't know if that's such a good idea.
But to Ann's point, I agree. You make the language simple, which is no longer on the street, but a requirement to have X number of trees based on frontage. Then all the rest of the language still can line up.
I agree with that as well. And then we'll talk about front yards after that. I'm not sure, individual single family houses or duplexes, I'm not sure if that fits in, but definitely in subdivisions.
Which it's already required.
Like, you're going to present this one to council, by the way.
I'm not the chair.
You coward.
Trying to figure out the differences between individual single family homes or duplexes and residential subdivisions.
Yeah.
Subdivisions
are major.
But if you're just building a house in an existing subdivision, that doesn't require you to do the street trees.
If I have a lot, and it's all built up around that lot, and someday I go build on it, I'm not. The subdivision rules are for developers.
Right. But you're not. Yeah.
But I'm not a developer.
Correct. Right.
So doesn't that create mixed match areas?
Not really.
Well, developer, if he's going to be the only thing. House in the middle of that subdivision that doesn't have a tree in his front yard?
Well, it's still not. You just, like I said, we're going to take that little street tree line, but no, all the way across it.
All the way through, though. Residential subdivisions, multifamily.
No, residential subdivisions, I'm a yes on trees.
On the street?
Not street trees, just not trees.
Just a tree.
Yep.
Based on frontage, X number of trees.
Yeah, which is what.
Same
yeah,
math.
I love that.
Same math,
I do.
Street
yeah.
trees, but they're no longer street.
Yep.
Yes.
Related. They're just on the property.
So then we still. So here's the what was the street tree section? We make this just a
trees.
Tree section
requirement.
Well, you'll have to go through and change. I mean, well, I guess. For example, trees should be planted within 10 feet of the edge of the right of way, like that type of stuff would get stricken. I mean, you'd have to go through it.
Yeah,
of,
right. Move it all around.
But then, so are we still requiring a tree for every 75 feet of frontage as a way to calculate how many trees?
I think so.
Yeah,
okay.
75 feet.
That's two
pretty
trees
reasonable.
On my lot, and that feels right.
I think on mine, the house I just bought,
it's
I've
consistent.
Got one tree in my front yard.
Well, it's consistent throughout the city. It's already
been
done. Well,
Daniela has no trees. I told you she wasn't going to like this.
Hey, let me tell you where a good place to buy trees are. You can steal a sapling from me.
Hey, but it's okay. You were pre this code.
Like they're
code.
Already.
Right.
Yeah, if you look at that, it's supposed to be clearly responsible. Who, which is the tree owner?
I'm just borrowing the shade.
Yeah.
So clean that up. And
yeah.
Do I have to put trees there?
No.
It's not. It's not retroactive.
Yeah, it's not retroactive.
Yeah, your house was built before this, so you're solid.
One of the things that, again, John mentioned, that somebody's looking at doing a big annexation, and the person who owns that land actually told us they're a big fan of that requirement. They said, yeah, that's what Othello looks like. I love it. Why'd you guys get rid of it? I'm like, it's complicated. and I mean that's you look at all the ones there's like a little gap of no trees. I don't know what happened there. Like all the Olympia developments, they all got trees. Now they're all big trees. Mm-hmm. John, are we going to cause unbelievable amounts of heartburn on city council?
No, I don't think so.
Perfect. Okay, so now with the other item, front yards. Our last meeting, both
landscaping department or developer landscaping.
Yep.
The question, should they be required or not?
Should they be required? We had that discussion. Yep.
For the developer.
Well, the developer, just get ready, because when we have our public hearing, they're all going to be here and they're going to be really happy with us. Because I think they thought they got rid of it. But there are numerous complaints and concerns, and we were asked to revisit from the city council 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's been a while. And this is probably the place that needs to get revisited. As far as arguments go, there's unfortunately too many of them that don't get done.
So the requirement would be?
You gotta have a front yard.
Front yard.
Like yard and a sprinkler system was the other component we were discussing.
Yeah, yep. But I think that could be optional upon the home buyer.
What do you mean?
Like you don't have to pay for your developer to put your sprinkler in, but you want that, he can offer you that.
Yeah, I don't think service. That was.
No, then you just don't make it a part.
Yeah, I don't think the sprinkler system needs to be required, but I think no. The front yard should be.
You.
Or you do it after, if you want it. Or as he's building, if you want the sprinkler system, have it put in before they put your landscaping in.
I think the big thing is that it gets thrown in on your mortgage and your loan in that regard versus separate.
Trying to come up with a separate loan after you just purchase a home.
So that is dictating the choice to the homeowner on sprinkler.
On the sprinklers, yeah, on the sprinklers at least. Thank some people are. Don't like them. They're a lot of hassle after the fact when they break and you got to figure out where and you got to hire somebody, but that's all on them.
The most shocking thing to me on this issue was the big complaint that I got from a couple developers is there was nobody in town who put in yards. And I'm sitting there going, my goodness. What a great business. What a great business opportunity that nobody's taken advantage of yet. I want somebody to take that advantage of that.
It just doesn't have enough yards to put in.
There's just not enough yards. Well, yeah, because we stopped making them required. I don't know. I just thought that was a great opportunity that as well. Anyway. Are we doing front yards too? Well, it's not today, no, you gotta go through process, right?
I'm for requiring a front yard.
Daniela? Kevin? You opposed it, we got rid of the rule before. Are we changing it or keep? You would want to keep it the way it is.
Before we said they required to be put in within a year by the homeowner, correct? But we discovered we have no way to enforce that.
Yep.
And you can enforce it, you have to write tickets and it's a long process.
So what's the success rate there? Have we embarked down that path with anybody?
I think
there were some who wrote
letters
and they did it, but it ends up being a low priority.
So ineffective.
You got a
requirement. So the front. I mean, it's not like it wasn't tried. I mean, it was definitely tried. And just.
I mean, you can alleviate maybe the points. I mean, if we're looking at a point system on the residential side, you can lower the bar.
Mm-hmm.
They're just required, so residential, they're just required decorative landscaping in 60% of their
the minimum decorative landscaping is 50%?
Of the front yard?
Of the, yeah. So basically, they can't do, they're not supposed to do parking for.
No, okay. They have to have greenery.
You're thinking of your neighbor.
By the mailbox?
I've seen the picture.
So at a minimum, they get away with sod and a tree or two and call it a day.
Yep.
I mean, sod and a tree or two is not exorbitant in my mind.
It makes the community look good, too.
Mm-hmm. The issue is going to be who you put that on. Because what we were trying to do before was figure out the developer. Well, if you do that, if you do that bond, like she had up there,
yeah,
and you put that on the developer's got to recover those costs.
Absolutely.
You can't give that away free. So then he adds it to the price of the home.
Correct.
That the people are buying. And what I've heard is it's so tight with the income items around here or the amount that the homes are being built at that people are losing their financing because of that additional $5,000.
But then those same people will never put a yard in because they can't afford it. That's the other side of that. You know, unfortunately, that argument is a painful one because then people are getting into stuff they can't afford anyway. And that, I mean, if you can't afford a front yard, unfortunately, you are impacting the value of your neighbors on either side. So
okay, well, that's your point of view.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
It may not be my point of view.
Sure.
My point of view is to make it accessible for people to purchase and own their home.
Right, but then we'll write them fines in a year.
What?
But then in a year, we're going to write them fines when they still can't afford the front yard.
Well, you live in a neighborhood, your neighbor should be able to shame you and you can make something. It's a tight-knit community around here. You know, so it's not my opinion. It's your opinion that
right.
It will not do something. It's my opinion that they'll do something.
Yeah. No, I think it's...
Time will come when they do something.
Yeah.
Minimal, yeah. It'll be a minimal thing that they'll do something. They will not want to live in a neighborhood like what I usually was building and not have enjoyment of the yard. So it may take them a year or two to save the money. You know, it may take a change of lock for them to put it in and get it done. But, or, you know, they sell and somebody else comes in and makes them for the year.
I think, though, the other side of that argument is it's not excessively exorbitant when it's thrown into a 30-year mortgage. You know, I asked Maria how much it was, and she said basically pennies. You know, but when you have somebody who just bought a home, who just sunk everything of their life into that home, and then they got to spend $12,000 to put in a front and backyard, or $5,000 or $8,000 to put in a front yard, I mean, that's asking a lot for some of these people. And yeah, I agree. You know, the folks who are buying into Palos Verdes and some of Angel's new developments, that's not much of an issue. But there are some developments that aren't getting front yards put in because they can't afford it. That's tough. Jake.
What about like all cement, artificial grass? Because there's a house near the hospital that just pure cement.
I can't remember how that played out on that. If that, because it's decorative, right?
There's one that put in like decorative, like a patio in the front yard.
And we let that go. Yeah, that was. So I mean, there's some freedom. It's leaving dirt. It's kind of a problem.
So, and to your point, I mean, I agree with the principle. A yard. I don't think a yard precludes someone from homeownership. That shouldn't be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And truthfulness, right? I mean, the house I grew up in, we would have bought $100 of grass seed and we would have sprinkled it around and put sprinklers on it. And that would have been the cost of getting a yard in. I mean, so the bar is low,
de minimis, right? Like, just to get grass down, it's not expensive. So, no, I think I probably need more to what John's saying the more I think about it, right?
If that's where we decided last time.
Yeah. If there's, you know, because homeownership's a big deal, right? And that gets people from where they're at to hopefully a better place over the long run.
So on the other issue about irrigation and irrigation systems, the city of LaBelle has created an ordinance that only developments must have irrigation access.
Right.
You know, outside of potable water, but we never finished providing the service. It's actually a city service, a city, you know, utility that we never got going. And we need to get that going, and we will be getting that going within the next year or two. Okay? We're looking at that. We just didn't have the individual in the right place to address it.
Right.
We do now. And hopefully we'll get that going to make it a lot easier. Because that'll be a lot cheaper for homeowners to do something with the yard.
Right.
You know, whether they run hoses or put an underground sprinkler system in, it'll be a lot cheaper.
Bob?
Well, I guess I don't know which way you're going to go. If you're going to go the way of not requiring the front yards to be put in by the builder, I think you should take Tim Unruh's suggestion and have the builder at least make the land plantable. Don't do a lump of rocks. Don't do it not sloping away from the house. It needs to be the groundwork. Right. If you don't require the people in, the groundwork needs to be.
I agree with that.
Some of those
houses, they're like, I believe that they should be, you know, they scrape off all the tops and they pile it. They should bring it back in and level it.
Well, see, that's kind of. Unfortunately, you know, and I mean, everyone has different approaches on their development. And I think that was part of that concern as well is, you know, if you're going to have to plant a front yard that makes it, you got to do all that stuff. You know, so that kind of drove it as opposed to, I mean, you've gone to that expense already, you might as well put it in the yard.
Grading's a bigger problem. That's a heavy equipment problem. Planting grass is a lot more.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You've already done that. So you might as well put in the yard after that, because you've done the big expense. Right, shouldn't have to do it anyway. I don't know how the heck you make that requirement.
It's a big expense for the homeowner to get somebody to come in with equipment and stuff, but the developer's already got all that stuff on site.
Right.
So it's a pretty simple thing for the developer to do that.
Correct.
Yeah.
But what's their motivation to do it?
The lot should be ready to go.
Yeah.
Should be.
So that'd be part of the building inspection?
I think so.
And so we do require final grading. That's one of the inspections that he does is the final grading. But I don't know how extensive that is. I don't know if that's just it needs to be sloped with the house for like the first, I think it's 5 feet.
Yep. I can tell you as someone who's helped more than a handful of the people moving those subdivisions put yards in, they're not graded. And they're definitely not de-rocked by, like they're not graded right. Like it needs to be better, either better at Forest or something, but at least the ones over there, they're not.
You can hold up occupancy if you don't have it to where you want it.
Depending on what we can require, you know.
Right.
Jake, any thoughts? We went the road of not making a requirement for development. And that generated complaints and concerns from yards not getting done.
Well,
unfortunately. For decades, it was a requirement. I mean, most places were built with front yards. I would probably err on the side of putting in front yards again. That's just where I'm.
How long did it take for the subdivision over Walmart to wrap up getting all its yards in?
I think that's a different circumstance because they had an HOV and all those other rules.
They had more, but they still had plenty of yards in the dirt for quite a while after the houses were built.
There were, actually, that you mentioned it. Son of a gun.
My sister bought a house there initially when that development went up.
To John's point, eventually.
It gets there, but.
May not be the time, as long as they're keeping the weed, I mean, and the big thing, weed control, stuff like that. Like, you don't want somebody really.
Like I said, we went down that road and there we are. You know, that's why we're revisiting it. Or we're asked to revisit it.
There's already weed ordinances to keep those things.
I'd like to see a front yard go in.
As a requirement.
At minimum, just, yep.
But they only do 25% or 50% of it, right, of the front yard?
Well, you remember you had a driveway.
Yeah, it's just a minimum requirement.
So basically, you can't asphalt your entire front yard.
Right.
But the developer has to put a minimum of 25%.
No.
No.
But what they're saying is that the developer's required to leave 50% of your yard available to grass or garden or whatever you want. Like, you can't just put a concrete across the whole front of it. Call it a day.
Or gravel and park all your cars on it. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
One of our neighbors just down the road just ripped out his whole front lawn with concrete.
Whoa.
Most of the front lawn's
right next to my mailbox. All gravel. Whole front yard. All gravel.
And that's what, I mean, that happens after the fact, right? I don't know what code enforcement can do with that.
See that look? She's pleading the fifth on this one.
enforceability is
it's not Ann's responsibility. Nor is it ours. We try to put the best rules forward to protect the people best can. Hopefully it gets taken care of.
But I do believe there are buyers that $5,000 does make a big difference for them. And so to that degree, right, for the cost of probably a developer spending $500 a day with a guy on a Bobcat, the thing could be graded and worked out.
I mean, if I'm being a little transparent here, that's what kept me from buying a home there was there was no way I could put a front yard in within a year.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't go that route, because I knew I would get fines in a year if I didn't put the front yard in, but I wasn't going to put my front yard in without doing my backyard and then your fence, and then it piles up before you know it and you're stuck in this 30-year loan and you're getting fines for not having a front yard. I mean, it's a lose-lose for a lot of people like me. So that's what pushed me ultimately to buy an established home, because I didn't have to deal with the yard and the vegetation and the fence, and it was easier. It came with the house.
So the flip side of that is there are people who are not afraid of that either, and not afraid to have a front yard, no backyard. Like, you know, it's a comfortability thing, and there's people who, to them, it's not a problem, and so. Both sides of that coin.
Better with no front yard getting done, then it affects the neighbors. Daniela, where are you?
I like the idea of just the minimum, at least getting it prepped. Like, you know, but adding it to your loan is a nice option. And I agree, it doesn't make it or break it. If you can't add it to your loan, then it means you need to reduce your
add-ons. Yeah, yeah. So,
I mean, it does make
the neighborhood nicer. But at a minimum, it should
be prepared at least to lay down. I mean, that would save us a whole butt ton of stuff if it was prepped correctly.
The rocks.
But it was not. It
wasn't
even close. So. And that's the hard part about it. But it's not
required
to add to my loan, right? If I wanted to buy a home and it wasn't ready.
What do you mean?
But it's required to put a loan, but required to put them on, but I don't want to put it on my loan. That part is not required, right? Or would not be required.
If the lawn is already in the front yard, if you already have a lawn there when you buy it.
But they're required to put it.
The developer has to be compensated somehow. So you either pay the developer or you add it to your loan. Yeah.
You're either
going to compensate your developer one way or another.
Yeah.
And do you think there would be the possibility of, say, you don't want to pay for, you know, the developer to do it, do you think they would work with you to have it?
Yeah, the timing. Well, wait.
Some would. Not all.
Let me put my sprinklers in first, and let me, you know, and then, yeah, I'll pay for it. But, so do I still make that 1 year if I want to do that?
You're not going to get a developer that's going to.
Exactly. So I'm saying, but I got to be able to have that flexibility that I don't want to add to my loan. I want to do it within my time frame. That I have that option too.
But how do we?
Exactly. How do we deal with that?
How do you enforce? Right?
That one.
Well, the same way you would do it with the requirement. If you don't have a front yard, you don't get a certificate of occupancy. So if you're going to get a, if you're going to get a separate, if you want to get a separate loan to do a separate yard, yeah.
It's not a separate loan. I'm just saying that if we did want to pay for it out of pocket in our time frame within the 1 year, that's an option. If that was paid out of pocket with a loan, but do I get the same flexibility if it's not?
If we require front yards by developers to be done,
then I don't have an option.
You don't have that option.
Mm-hmm. You could,
it's going to be waiting
for
it.
I don't know how good of an option that is.
Yeah.
Not a good option. Anything that requires
payment.
Yeah. This is and more oversight. I guess what we're trying to get rid of. We want the deal done one way or the other. I mean, grass would be nice. I'm not arguing that, right? Having it in and done, but you do have a set of home buyers. The $5,000 does make a difference too, and they're typically ones who are going to put in grass. I mean, you're not talking high-end homes, right? You're probably talking the mid-range homes. You're talking the lower range of those homes. Those people who aren't afraid to put grass in. So,
well, I'm just saying, yeah, in my personal experience, I wouldn't have done it any different than what we did, which was not actually, I don't think we do ourselves.
And you can always, I don't know, I mean, the question with fines and things like that, like, I mean, if there's a window post-finding, if they can, I mean, you know, if it's, you just gradate your hammers of enforcement so that if they get fines, but they have the lawn done within 3 months receiving the fines are waived. I mean,
we did that, it didn't work.
So, yeah, we always, I mean, the yes. Fines are to get compliance. That's the reason for having fines.
Yeah.
And if you're working toward compliance, then you're not going
to. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with fines because the whole point is it dissuade. I mean, you got to have people. And so there's got to be some element of that, and you're going to have people. But the buyer still makes a choice. Either they agree to the contract of putting the yard in within X amount of time, or they don't, in which case they go buy a different home. Or go home.
Okay, wait, back up, explain it one more time.
What I'm saying is, you decided that you didn't want to deal with putting a yard.
Oh, yeah.
And so therefore you just went and found a different home, right? That didn't require that of you.
Well, she lucked out and found one. They're not growing on trees around
No,
here.
No. They're not around here, and I get that, but I'm just.
And we might be making a, you know,
an unnecessary
expense and barrier for a developer to come in. However, it's a hell of a lot easier for a developer to throw a whole bunch of yards in and get everything looking really nice for people buying homes, maybe their first-time homes, maybe their big grand homes. But if that's a requirement to be done, I think it's going to be done a lot less expensively. You might end up paying a little bit more, but on your loan, like I said, this is one of the first questions I asked Maria. I said, on a 30-year mortgage, what is the real impact of having front yard requirement? She went, pennies. She goes, I think it's $1.84. I was like, okay. Well, it's a little different world than, okay, now you got to pay 12 grand to go put in your yard and systems.
And I agree. You're talking about options to add a tree, you know, trees. So
yeah.
An option to add.
No, there's, this is not a slam dunk by any means. It's not this is why we had a lot of debate on it in the past.
But you're right. I mean, it's hard for you to find a house that's already done.
Right.
So would there be a way, that might be messy too, to require it, and then if that home homeowner is, the purchaser is going to be Danielle and she doesn't want it, does that give her the year and alleviate that from the that responsibility being on the developer?
What would be our guarantee?
Yeah, it's your certificate of occupancy.
You can you create a waiver system and you're...
And then that's and weird and messy too.
Yep.
You know, that's why there was the bond requirement that if people, but I know that that's a cumbersome thing.
So we go back to front yards and new subdivisions or not?
I err on the side of affordability still. I do agree with grading. I think that's a good thing because then you make it really is a total lack of effort to not throw grass seed down and put sprinklers on your lawn at that point in time. Just and run sprinklers. I mean, and that's within everybody's financial reach.
So you're on a no.
That's assuming that that's what's affordable for everyone. The word affordability is different for you versus me and Chris.
I'm the only participant.
Affordability is very different for everybody. So I guess that's where I get stuck. That word is very broad.
I didn't touch nothing. It's coming to you soon enough. Thanks, John. So you're probably a yes requirement.
Yeah.
Where you at, Daniela?
I need an order. I mean, I'm talking about my personal experience, but I need an order.
You're back because I just want a pretty.
I think she said
it too. So,
yeah, get off the fence somewhere.
I think when you were saying affordability, you're talking about a hose, sprinkler, and some seed, right? You're not talking about sod and irrigation and the whole of that.
If somebody else does it, yeah, anywhere from five to sky's the limit, right? Yeah.
But I think most estimates are between five and ten, depending on what you do.
But if I got, if I were buying a home and I knew I had 12 months to put it in and I was someone who cared, then I could put a front lawn in for literally next to nothing. And if I just watched Facebook and Craigslist enough, I'd probably get enough free sod over the course of a year to do it all anyways.
I do see that a lot, actually.
If
they're doing the tree, I'd say yes.
Huh?
If they're doing a tree, because I haven't done a tree farm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was my next point I was going to bring up. It's like, we'll have a nice flat ground with a tree in the middle.
and it's the exception to the rule, though, is the other element of it, right? Like, the yards that are like that are going to be, we're having a lot of conversation where it's probably the minority situation.
But that minority situation is why the city council asked us to review it, because unfortunately, people not doing it, it's not just their issue, it's how it impacts neighbors. And that's a problem. You know, that's, maybe it's not a giant problem, but it's problem enough for review. I'm on the side of requirement. It's required in a lot of cities. And I think that that's a good requirement. I think in what you outlined, when you're getting a house built, if you're buying something built, that's one thing. But if you're building, well, you have a lot of options to do a lot of that stuff in different ways, and just like everything else. You know, it's where I like to err on the side of, and I think we have a lot of first time homeowners. Mm-hmm. I want it to have everything done for them as much as possible, so it's easy for them to get into a home, so they don't get too many surprises, because they're going to get surprises. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what our community is. You know, for me, yeah, no problem. You know, these rules, I can handle that. You know, a $10,000 surprise, it's going to make me go, oh, but I can do it. A lot of people, a $10,000 surprise is earth-shattering. And I think that's more of our community than not. I want to make it easy for them. So I'm a yes on the requirement. Plus, seeing a bunch of trees in the middle of dirt kind of freaks me out a little bit. And I like the trees, so.
Yeah, if they're doing the tree, like I said, I haven't done the tree myself. So, part of the requirements of doing the tree.
on that note, it's 8:05. I'm happy to motion.
Oh.
Oh, now you want. You were going to say.
I said my piece 5 minutes ago.
Well, as I pointed out, as I may have warned staff, since we missed our, no, we're going to get done here. Did we give direction to Ann on what we're doing on subdivisions? Because I'm not sure we gave direction. So did we tell you required or not required?
Favor developers, one was opposed, one was, I'm saying in favor now. But they're saying yes, I'm in favor.
This still goes to city council for their final decision. And they're the ones who stuck us with this, by the way.
And you have to have a public hearing first.
Yes, and we'll have a public hearing. That's going to be a beauty because you're going to see about 10 developers down here.
Let's see what happens. I mean, worst case scenario, we had it, then that wasn't working. We took it away. That's not working. Let's require it again. I mean, there's obviously.
At least it'll look nice.
Because this is the third time we're seeing it again.
Yeah. All right.
We're missing something.
We do have one other item that is on the agenda. I think we can handle it super, super quick. So that's why I'm going to go ahead and go into that, which is future building. We have a city of Spokane shaping Spokane housing.
So I just wanted you to kind of be aware this has come up. A developer actually came up to me at the Walmart event and said, did you know, look at what Spokane is doing? Athala needs to, you know, get with it and be a little more supportive of housing.
You read that though, right?
I
thought it was pretty similar to what we had in our housing plan.
But they're actually adopting ordinances.
Which ordinances did they adopt?
Making.
So to make ADUs, like take away some of the requirements for ADUs, they are allowing basically up to a fourplex, wherever.
So they basically have no requirements for anything?
And it is I think it's a 4-year window where they're trying this.
And they have no requirements for ADUs?
They do, but they have a lot more, and so they took some of
the
ADUs. So for example, for us, for ADUs, right? I mean, we require basically everything that you would have at a house. You know, I mean, it's on everything. It's on access from the street, all sorts of stuff. So maybe you eliminate street access and some parking requirements.
And then that
and all of a sudden that opens up the percentage of coverage,
okay,
right?
Owner occupancy was a big deal for this particular person.
Yep. So stuff like you take.
Well, in that case, bummer. Talk to city council.
The owner occupancy,
In other words, and you're going to see about 50 ADUs put into it.
We only required a year, and city council didn't like that we required such a small time frame on that.
Which was what, year?
A year is what we thought was best.
And they did go with that.
They did go with it. But they didn't go happily.
They increased it to, I think, all of the zones where it's allowed.
Yes.
Anyway, I just want to get back just to kind of like for you to be aware.
Good time.
We have ADU ordinance for more than a year, I think, and just recently we've gotten in 2 applications in that time. So, you know, you adopt something and nothing happens with it, you know, you don't look at.
Well, that's fair too. Well, I also saw, you know, we did suggest some upzoning, and that went over like a lead balloon. I kind of went through the list of things we got blown up on. We suggested a lot of these things.
And they took a lot of
it.
They
blew it
up. They didn't like a lot of stuff we had put in the last one.
Not all the stuff.
They took a lot. Not all of them.
There was
a lot of.
It was.
There was a lot they didn't like.
There was a lot that was very...
That we thought was solid.
We thought we had good reasoning, and they went, yeah, that is good reasoning, but it's too close to my home. Yeah. So that was kind of tough. So I suppose we could try to do that, but I'm not confident that a whole lot will get done. There's a few of them that were on there. I don't know. I guess maybe my question is... I'd like to, if there's an area we can focus into, I wouldn't be bad. That we could pass. Yeah, you're gonna plead the fifth. Okay, I'll go ahead and entertain a motion to.
A motion to.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, since the meeting's over. Yeah, what could you, what can we do with that, Ann? I mean, I looked at the list and it was a bunch of stuff. I don't mind suggesting it again. Although I don't know how we get more housing with smaller roads. That was part of the things too.